Hello there, and thanks for joining me in the podcast today. As you may know, we are in the middle of celebrating Black America Month. Time to focus on the population among us that are black, their history, their march to progress and independence and inclusion and integration and eventually to leadership and so on. The pathway and the travels of the Black American people is an enormously large subject to study and understand, but it's one that we would benefit from learning about the path that the Black American has taken to become the people they are today and recognizes the people they are today. To be sure, it's not all positive, but much of it is positive, and we need to make sure that we emphasize and celebrate the positive developments that have taken place within the Black America community. Now let me just put this in perspective here just a little bit, okay? We're all members of family. You know, some of us are a nuclear family, we're a blended family, we're an extended family, we're a social, single parent family, we're adopted family. We have all kinds of connections that make up what we call the family. Family is unique. It has its strengths and has its weaknesses. It has its purpose, and it was ordained, it was designed historically to be the core fabric of the American people and the general public worldwide. When these families are healthy, no matter how they're structured, but when they're healthy, there's far-reaching benefit for society. But on the other hand, when these families are unhealthy or dysfunctional, the effects for them personally and the effects of their community and the effects of the world is devastating. No family is immune from divorce, teen pregnancies, unemployment, abuse, addiction, and so on. And the Black community has had its fair share of these kinds of dysfunctions. Unfortunately, disproportionately, they have been plagued with the social ills that I've just mentioned. But historical and cultural influences, such as discrimination and segregation and migration and urbanization, have all profoundly shaped the functionality of the African American, Black American families. So I'll put this into perspective historically here. 1619, that was the year. 1619, a very critical one to understand. 20 African slaves arrived in Jamestown, Virginia. Their journey was from Africa and took a long time to cross the Atlantic Ocean. Up to now, nearly 12 million Africans survived the transatlantic 90-day crossing. Now, those that came were absorbed into a social context known as slavery, and slaves were prohibited from having legal marriages, unfortunately, because that's where the stability is found within a family, within the individuals. Secure family life is important, but it was prohibited of the African American. The African American was torn apart by this lucrative slave market that sprung up, buying and selling and trading slaves during those early years. The African American, the African community was torn asunder by these kind of activities where they were not able to have that unified family, that uniting family that now we know is so important and we enjoy. Within the slavery community, as deaths occur and families broke up in various ways and reasons, there was a platonic relationship that was formed for families, allowing missing relatives to incorporate others into their family to play the roles of the father, the mother, the brother, the uncle, the aunt, and so on. Now, after signing the Emancipation Proclamation, that was in 1863, that marked the ending of the American Civil War. And it was 1865, just 2 years later, that the slaves were freed. This is the Abraham Lincoln efforts and the proclamation. They were allowed to be free. As we know from the history, many of the slaves went their own way. They had earned their freedom, they had gained it, they were given it, and they went their way and lived it. On the other hand, many slaves returned to their slave owners and continued to live in the context of slavery as they had known it at the time. It was a comfortable way to live. Over time, despite all these milestones, the African American faced unimaginable setbacks. There was voter suppression. There were Jim Crow laws. There were many challenges, such as inequity in housing, inequity in education, inequity in employment. And that continued right up into the early years of 1900, the 20th century. So you go from 1619 to 1900, that 300 time frame there. The African community struggled to become independent, struggled to become strong, struggled to become unified, struggled to stay together, struggled to support each other and to encourage each other and to advance each other. Enormous amount of leadership took place during those years. Much was accomplished. Let's go into the 19th century, okay? Or the 20th century and the 21st century. Look at the strides that the African-American family has made. Now in the 21st century, it's the 2000, approximately 4.6 million African-Americans hold a four-year college degree. On the other hand, in 1920, that was just 80 years earlier, only 10,000 African-Americans were college educated. So basically over the years of the 1900s and the 2000s, we saw an enormous increase in African Americans going on to school, going on to college, and eventually graduating. 4.6 million holding four-year college degrees in the 1920s. There were only 10,000. It was Martin Luther King who said something like, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." So, to experience that and to advance that, we have to put aside our differences and seek out similarities in education, similarities in family life, similarities in values, similarities in faith, similarities in hope, similarities in goals, similarities in abilities and skills, and unify ourselves so that we all advance. Not the advancement of the African American family, that's not what's important. It's the advancement of the American family. Black, white, whatever. It's coming together into one large American family and advancing it more than it has ever been. Now, I mentioned the early 1900s. Here's an interesting piece of information. It was in 1920 that a lady by the name of Eva Beatrice Dyke obtained, she was the first black American, first African American female to complete her PhD degree. So you see, we have the development, the advancement of the black community in the early part of the 1900s, the latter part of the 1800s. This is really when the black people began to advance themselves and make progress. And Eva Dykes, having the PhD, and worshiping within the context of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, led a charge with two other individuals, spearhead the denomination-wide change in relationships of race, and to equalize, to bring together people within the context of the church without the designation of race, to help the black people integrate and become part of a church community. Here's another piece of information. Let's go forward to a few years. In the 1940s, now we have the Seventh-day Adventist Church beginning to integrate and look for ways to bring the black people into their congregation, into their fellowship, and they made great strides in that area. We have to commend them for that. But it was in the 1940s that Billy Graham and Dr. Martin Luther King had a meeting, kind of a convocation, a kind of a coming together, and formed a pact to work together to help integrate the white and the black communities through their effort, through the services held by Billy Graham and the services held by Dr. Martin Luther King, and the large congregations that they commanded and the leadership that they had among the white and the black communities together. And they began to work together. And history has the record of Dr. Martin Luther King sitting on the platform in which Billy Graham was preaching, and it caused a tremendous uproar within the white community. That was unheard of. That was a violation of principle and patterns of behavior, historically speaking. But Dr. Martin Luther King and Billy Graham persisted. And it was in the mid-1940s that Billy Graham announced that he would not have a campaign unless the black and the white not just attended, but integrated in their seating arrangements. Because prior to that, the black people could come to his meetings, that's true, but they sat in a separate section. And it was in the mid-1940s that he made his decision and made his pronouncement to not go forward with campaigns unless the seating could be integrated. And that was the beginning. That was the critical beginning of integration in the 1900s. And we have moved forward now together as a nation, black and white. You know, just an interesting little sidelight. I was a child in 1940, coming into the high school years of the 1950s. And I remember in church being taught the song and singing it loudly and singing it with everybody else, black or yellow, red or white. All are precious in His sight. Jesus loves all the children of the world. And that was a mantra. That was an enormous attempt on the part of the white community to teach white children that they are no different than the black children. And the black children are no different than the white children, or the brown children, or whatever color and whatever ethnic group and racial background a child might have. All are precious in His sight. We are to be loving and accepting and integrating with each other. And that's how I grew up. So you start looking at the 1940s, of those of my age, that we had an enormous amount of teaching focused on the issue of integration. Different before that, that's true. And then we come into the 60s with the Civil Rights Movement, and that's a whole story in itself. So here we are, looking at Black America history, African American history. It's an enormous part of our history. It's part of a history we need to understand, we need to know, we need to appreciate. We need to integrate into our own thinking and now do our part to continue the advancement of integration. Not the advancement of the black people, not the advancement of the white people, not the advancement of any other ethnic group, but the advancement of all people. We need to do our part to see that we all advance together, because as we all advance together in unity and in support of each other and in celebration of each other's advancement, we all win, and our country wins, our society wins, and the world wins. So I encourage you during this time to appreciate African American history. Read on it, study it, Google it. Do whatever you can just to dip into that topic area of knowledge. Read a book on it. Read a magazine article. Put your toe in the water a little bit of that part of history during this month of March. I commend you to do it. I urge you to do it. You'll be the benefactor of doing it. You will be better, but the people around you will be better as well, because you'll have a greater appreciation for who you are, where you've come from, and where the other people have come from that live around you and integrate with you and interact with you during the course of a day. Well, anyway, thanks for joining me, and trust this topic will be of significant influence in your life. Bye for now.